This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. Today, I'll be sharing with us on the topic, the secret of lucid visions. The secret of lucid visions. Lucid here is L-U-C-I-D. So I was praying overnight after the success of our North American convention. The Lord showed me one of those rare sites. I saw a lot of believers, of which I'm one of them, standing at the seashore. And then I saw that while all of us were looking at the seashore, we were standing at the seashore and we were looking directly in the direction of the sea, the conversation to my right was that some people there didn't see the sea. They saw a desert. I could hear them saying, "Why are we looking at the desert?" And I could hear some other people saying, "No, this is not a desert. Can't you see the waves? Can't you see the sea? Can't you see the movement of the water?" And some said, "No, that's a desert." And then some said, "No, that's a sea." And then I came out of that site. And I asked the Lord, I was like, "Okay, why am I seeing this?" And the Lord said, "Some of us still have solid visions, while others have lucid visions." And I decided, okay, I'm just going to teach about it this morning. When you look at the scriptures carefully, you will see that the ability to see the supernatural largely dependent on two things. The first is faith. The second is imagination. You see, we can talk about navigating the realms of angels all we want. For some people, it is just a mental discussion. If you ask them, "Do you believe in angels?" they will say yes. You tell them, "Why do you believe in angels?" they will say, "Oh, Jesus talked about them. The Bible talked about them. And I know that there is something out there. And I just know there is something out there. I may not see it, but I just know there is something out there." So it is not that they do not believe. It is that they counted it as something beyond the scope of their ability to see. Because, of course, angels are spirit beings. And for that reason, naturally, you should say nobody should see them. But there are some other people. The veil between natural sight and supernatural sight for them had been torn open. They do not need an AI version or image to see, to know in their spirit. They have accommodated the ability to see through the activation of their imagination. Remember what the Bible said, that the things that be not, that is, the things that do not exist in the natural. He said, it is the things that exist in the supernatural, the things that be not. He said they would unseat them in the consciousness of the believer. Therefore, a believer must be deliberate about not staying in the place of, I want to see the hole in his hand. I want to see the hole in his leg. That is a solid seer. Somebody who sees only things in three dimensions of the material world. They will say, show me the empirical evidence. Bring your facts on pen and paper. You say there are angels, but I will say, yes, there are angels. Let one appear here now. Let him talk to me the way I'm talking to you. Then I will believe you. There are Christians like that who only believe in the material world, yet they follow God through their mental faculties. Christians who believe in this way often do not experience the manifestation of the supernatural. However, some of them do because they have faith. So faith is the bridge between absolute unbelief and absolute belief. So somebody knows that, okay, there's God. I have faith that he can do it. And then based on that, the person continues to walk towards that desert and suddenly discovers that, wow, it is not desert after all. It's a sea. While another person who has no faith would say, no, I don't want to walk into a desert. I like it where I'm standing. I don't understand what I'm seeing ahead of me. But a man of the Spirit standing right there will see that he was standing by the seashore. It is not for God's inability to release unto us the ability to walk in the fullness of the supernatural. It is one thing for God to open the doors. Oh, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, ye ancient doors. It is one thing for angels to announce the lifting up of the heads and the cracking open of the gates. It's another thing for the believer to joyfully walk into the throne of grace. In Genesis chapter number 18, before Genesis chapter number 18, if you look at scripture from Genesis chapter number 4, you will notice that angels and men have several engagements. Genesis 4, Genesis 5, Genesis 6, men and angels, they were entities that men could see, men could talk to. They were entities that men could even marry their daughters to. It wasn't as if angels didn't have the ability to become material or to dwell among men. Indeed, some of the malachs, were given the duty to teach the sons of men how to cope with the harshness of this world. Many of the drugs and the herbs and the technology that we see in the ancient world, they were not automatically developed by a man through his brain. Angels taught us how to make fire. Angels taught us how to work in pyrotechnics. Angels taught us the rudiments of warfare. Angels taught men a lot of things in the early days before the flood. Angels mixed their DNA with that of mankind, developing giants. They used to be entities that we see, that we talk to. But then the problem with angelic and human interactions was that the imagination of mankind was so great. Angels are extremely lacking in imagination. Angels do not dream. Angels have no ambition. Angels do not kill each other. Angels do not need power to subdue one another. Angels do not need power to become president, to become governor. Angels do not want to put other angels under them and rule them perpetually. So angels basically lack human endeavor, passion, ambition, and weaknesses. Because angels are supernatural in their nature, they do not have rulership. They have supernatural abilities as supernatural servants. So angels, an angel cannot wake up in the morning and say, oh, I want to become the president of all the angels. It is impossible. The first angel to ever do that in the scriptures was Lucifer. And all those that were with him and himself, they were thrown out of heaven and they were taken, their place became void because it is not a natural development for an angel. Angels were built without ambitions. But men were built with ambitions. We were given the mandate to dominate. To dominate. However, if we are going to dominate one another, we must do it through the material world and the rules of the material world. Not dominate each other using charms or using angelic support or using angelic abilities for warfare in order to make war on other people and kill people and destroy people. So therefore, God said, hey, these angels had corrupted the sons of men. Why? Because angels gave men supernatural abilities and men then used the supernatural abilities to fuel their personal ambitions, to lord over other men, to take over territories, to kill people en masse, to become great men all over the earth. What I just told you was clearly recorded in the book of Genesis. And as a result of that, God said, hey, I'm going to put a wedge between these two realms, that men and angels would no longer become companions or friends in such a manner that men could use angelic strength, angelic power to their advantage this way. For men used angelic power as a weapon against other men. And that was why there was a bridge. And we saw how that one came to a head when we look at Genesis chapter 11, when men began to build the Tower of Babel and they were going to challenge God, and everything they did in that chapter was inspired by the technological abilities that they have gained from the realm of angels. So you will notice that by Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, one of the first things God made him do was to build altars. And many of us, in the physical sense, we say, Abraham built an altar so that I can pray to God. No. You know how people build airports in their communities so that planes can land in their community and take off? I remember when I traveled to Gombe last December, and if they didn't have an airport in Gombe, it would have been so difficult to access that place. So sometimes if you really want your community to be able to accommodate people, you must create the opportunity for the vehicle of transportation to land in that place. If you have sea, you will build a seaport. If you have no road, you are going to build a road. If you want people to gain access, you have to prepare a way for people to come. For Jesus to come, John the Baptist had to rise and prepare a way for him. For you to accommodate angels, there has to be the creation of a landing, a birthing place. So the first thing God instructed Abraham to do was to build altars, so that those altars became portals where angels ascended and descended upon this world at will. And that was what I was talking about at the beginning. The ability to see beyond the veil, to know that, hey, when I do this thing, I am engaging angels. I am bringing them into my consciousness. For example, years back, let's say 7 years ago, I started having a fellowship of angels, a fellowship with angels, personally. I'm just, normally people pray every day, oh, I'm speaking in tongues, oh, today is intercession, oh, tomorrow I just pray to build up my holy faith. I deliberately earmark the day where I fellowship with the angels of God that walk with me. As at that time, I had only seen an angel once, as at when I started. And I was not instructed by God to do it. I realized that angels are servants of God. I am a servant of God. They walk in different dimension. I walk in a different dimension. Is there a place where we can come together? Where we can both serve the Lord together? Is there a place? And so I had to create that place. I'm not saying, I will not sit down and say, let an angel invite me. When the angels want to worship God, let them invite me. That will never happen. I have to initiate that. The way Abraham built altars, I had to be deliberate to initiate that. On my phone, you will see WhatsApp groups where only my phone, my line, and maybe I have two lines. So I put the two lines in one group and I name the group JSW and Angels. It's there on my phone. It's deliberate. When I have a prayer requests that require very supernatural answers, when they send me bills and they say I have to come up with 100 million in 3 days or 200 million in 3 days, we have to buy these things and so much, I will just take the request, I'll put it in that group. Then I will talk to the Lord about it. And then when I'm fellowshipping, I'll say, angels, get on it. I deliberately created a space for them. Why? Because if I do not deliberately engage, I will not see the effect of their work or their result or their action in my reality. I know a lot of Christians who I can call contemporaries of Barack Wenger in ministry. And some of them would write to me today and they would say, we don't understand. How did things work this way for you? How come? Well, some of us have been in ministry for 20 years, been in ministry for 22 years. One wrote to me yesterday, he's been in ministry since 2007. And yet, he's still struggling very much, struggling day and night. Every time he writes to me, it's lamentation. And I was so busy yesterday, but in the middle of the night, I had to write to him because he had written to me. He had poured out his soul. And so I had to write to him. I had to tell him, you are a pastor, quite right, but you are not engaging the realms as you ought to. The Bible made it clear that Abraham had a lot of angelic help. The Bible made it clear. Isaac had a lot of angelic help. The Bible made it clear. Jacob had a lot of angelic help. Joseph had angelic help. Jesus had angelic help. Apostle Paul had angelic help. Peter had angelic help. Philip had angelic help. They were clearly written. If you are going to have supernatural results in this realm, you cannot ignore angelic help. You cannot. And if you are going to accommodate them, then you have to develop the ability to see lucidly. That is, to participate in your own imagination consciously. So that is why the Bible said a spiritual person is like a mad person. I remember being invited to a house that they claimed was haunted. They said this house was haunted by demons. And they invited me to say, Brahminga, come and pray. And I remember that day, the house was just built. But the day they finished building it, one of the laborers got electrocuted, died on site. They went to remove his body, became a police matter. Eventually, when the owner of the house wanted to move in again, he came with some other people. Immediately, one of them died. And then somebody told him, nobody wants to touch his house anymore because they believe that something had been buried in the compound. And this guy and his father-in-law were having serious issues. The father-in-law was the one that helped him buy the land. Father-in-law was the one that was helping him to develop the land. And then they discovered that the father-in-law was diverting materials that were meant for a site to another site to build another house. So he was buying materials, but the father-in-law was using the materials to build two houses at the same time. He was a banker and he trusted his father-in-law to oversee the project. But somebody told him that, you people you are rich, you are developing two plots of land side by side. It was like, what do you mean? Then they told him, oh, this is your land. Then this is your father-in-law's firstborn son's land. And every time they bring materials, they will drop half of your site and they will drop half of your father-in-law's firstborn site. We asked the father-in-law what was going on. The father-in-law said, my son is also building. You're also building. So in order to test whether it is true or not, he said he stopped sending money to his father-in-law to buy materials. He engaged somebody else and began to send money to that person. His father-in-law got angry because, of course, now the project that the father-in-law was doing for his own son stalled because, of course, it was his own money that the father-in-law was using to build two houses. The father-in-law got angry, said, why would you get somebody else to come and develop the land? He said, it's my money, it's my land, I don't want you to handle it anymore. Father-in-law got very angry that, oh, you want to embarrass me, you want to disgrace me, became an issue. And then things started happening on his property. But he finished building the house and then he couldn't live in it. Then the daughter of that man, of the father-in-law, the wife of this brother, was one that reached out to me. And he said, Brahminga, my husband is giving me hell at home. Because we built a house, we cannot move there. And so now he's no longer sleeping at home. He's talking of marrying another wife. He's saying that he has bad in-laws. I just want us to move to our house. I need you to come and help us dedicate this house. I need to come and pray in this house, please. And so I went to Ikoton here in Lagos because of her plea. And when I got there, nobody was, or everybody ran. Even the owner of the house stood far away. But like I said, I will not go alone. If they told me there are demons somewhere, I am fortified. But I do not walk alone. So they may not see the angels with me, but I do see them. So I got in front of the house, I opened the gates, I took some sand. I breathed to the sand in front of everybody three times. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Then I threw the sand in the compound. Then I told them they can come in. All of them said, is that all? I said, that's all. And we moved in. We prayed. We had a party. And from then till now, no problem. A natural man will not do that. A natural man will go there and shout, in Jesus' name, Father, we bind, we cast, we somersault, we are. And those who do that do it mostly out of fear. There was a day the Lord showed me a vision, and I will share it with you. I saw a lion. Then I saw a dog. The dog saw the lion and the dog began to bark. It was barking so much. So in the vision, I was looking at it, I was laughing. I said, why is the dog harassing the lion? It cannot kill the lion. Why can't it just be quiet, hands, and go away? Why is the dog looking at the lion and barking at it? The Lord said to me, the dog is afraid. He said, you think the dog is attacking the lion by barking? No. When you hear a dog barking, a dog barks mostly out of fear. It is without barking, it will attract help. It will announce to everybody that something is going on, something is going on, something is going on. That the reaction of the dog was not boldness, it was fear. It was because it is afraid. That was why it's shouting, "Ah, no, no!" And then the Lord told me, the Lord said, most believers, when you hear them praying, "I bind it, I crush it," hey, he said, they're afraid. It's not a product of faith. It's a product of fear. You will hear the fear in their heart as they say, "Oh, heavy power of darkness, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus." They are afraid. That's not faith. Faith does not need any noise. Faith is an expression of God through the believer. Absolute trust in God needs no noise. You don't need to announce it to anybody. The Bible said Moses just stretched out his hand to the sea. That's it. He didn't say, "Oh, sea! Oh, sea!" No. He just stretched out his hand and the sea parted. Faith is a demonstration of the power of God. Noise, most people when they are praying and you hear them shouting, it's fear. Our God does not, you don't need to shout at him for him to do anything. And so I'm challenging you today. Let your solid visions become lucid visions. Do not see from the dimension of men. The things that the Lord has given you as a vision that you see, oh, the Lord said he's giving me 100 acres of land somewhere, even though you don't have the money to buy one plot now, but the Lord has told you he's giving you 100 acres to build an industrial park or to build an architectural or agricultural wonder or to build a wonderland somewhere. He has told you that. When you close your eyes, see it. Do not see small land. See like a drone that is flying in the sky. Excuse me. See like a drone that is flying in the sky. And see the vastness of the land. The way God showed Abraham a seed that he showed him the stars of heaven. That's how you see. You must not allow yourself to be limited by human material world and the sightings of the flesh. You must see the sea as sea. If you do not see it as sea, you will not engage it as sea. You would assume it is land, and then you jump into it only to find out that you are dealing with a very different laws from the laws that you are supposed to use to deal with material or solid things. This is a season of angelic exploration, engagement, and encounters. I do not want anyone to be left behind. In order not to be left behind, you have to open your imagination. You have to begin to possess places, high places, great places, by the strength of the Holy Ghost that is at work in you, and by the knowledge of the Word of God that it is indeed true that the realm of angels is accessible to men. That way, you begin to know secrets. That way, things will begin to happen that you cannot, even you, cannot explain to anybody how they happened. Like I said, when people write to me and they ask me, "Can you please explain to us?" Sometimes I do not know what to say. Of course, if I just say, "Oh, it's grace," or "Oh, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit," people are like, "Hey, but explain to us." No, because some people, such terms as "it is just grace," "it is just the power of Holy Ghost," it seems to them as if you are just hiding something, as if you don't want to really put them through. But sometimes, to be candid, there is no word, there are no words to say. But if you engage in the realm as you ought to, you begin to see results. They will come from left, from right, from places you expect and places you don't expect. So much so that you realize that not only are you conquering on this earth, you are conquering in the heavens and you are conquering underneath the earth. That is the true sight of the sons of God. That is the true scope and the depth of those who are walking in the grace and in the power of God in this new dispensation. And I declare that those areas are open unto you, that your visions are lucid, that when you close your eyes, you see way beyond the veil, and you come into a place of understanding of grace. In the next few days, few months, from every realm, you will gather your sheaves and your barns will be full. The joy of the Lord shall continually be your strength. Thank you, Father, for your word is faithful. Glory be to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.